Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour three of the show. It is a full show, full 3 hours, a celebration. Pelicans fans, Pelicans organization, as they won the NBA draft lottery yesterday. It's incredible. Incredible moment. And people across the country melting down. These national talking heads and big city elitists have been ripping on them. And for good reason. It's outrageous. And Jim Eichenhofer is going to come on in just a second. But first, let's get to Donald in Texas. And Donald, you've been holding on for a while. Thanks for holding on. What you got?
Yes, I just want to comment about Zion Williamson. Well, I don't understand. It was kind of like they don't want him to come to New Orleans. And that's kind of terrible because New Orleans went through a real bad season with Anthony Davis, you know, and his selfishness. But anyway, Anthony Davis kind of foolish for leaving New Orleans because he's leaving like $70 million on the table.
He is. Well, it's less than that, Donald, because you're tacking on the extra year he can sign here with New Orleans. So it's kind of some math skewing, some math fudging with that. There is about $30 million. And look, obviously, that's a lot of money that he's leaving on the table. But it, because of the extra year, it doesn't actually work out to $70 million. That's another conversation. But I agree with you here. It's just people that are saying across the country today, the chorus of disdain and absurdness from all of the national punditry, not all of them, but a majority of them, saying that the Knicks deserved Zion. I don't understand how the Knicks became this fortress of basketball, I don't know, relevancy to some people when they've just been absurdly bad for two decades. I mean, the stat to point this out is the Pelicans have 21 more wins than the Knicks this millennium since the year 2000. The Pelicans have only existed since 2002. The Knicks have been terrible. They have the worst owner in the league and perhaps the biggest laughingstock of an owner in professional sports in this country. I do not understand why people, far too many people, are holding up the Knicks, as a place that, I don't know, deserves Zion Williamson. It's absurd. Thanks for the call, Donald, and we'll get to the rest of your calls in just a little bit. But first, let's bring on in Jim Eichenhofer, who works for the Pelicans and Pelicans.com and the Pelicans Radio Network. And boy, Jim, what a scene it was yesterday. What was that scene like inside the Pelicans organization?
I mean, it was pretty shocking to me. I mean, you go in, I know you just discussed math, and math seems to be a real issue with people right now, but I mean, you go in with a 6% chance, you can't possibly go in thinking like, okay, this is definitely going to be a win or that this is likely a win. So, I mean, just for it to unfold the way it did, I mean, you saw all the reactions from people last night after the lottery, the videos that people sent, and just the way that Alvin Gentry and David Griffin reacted. I mean, it was incredible just to see it. It was just something that you could never have expected in a million years, but it happened.
Yeah. Were you as stunned as the rest of us in that moment? I wasn't quite sure how to react. I think there was probably a good minute or two where I wasn't standing up and cheering. I was just, I think my jaw was probably literally wide open going, what in the world just happened?
Yeah, I would say that was my reaction as well. I mean, I was sitting next to Will Guillory and Andrew Lopez, two of the other guys, the writers that cover the Pelicans. And we were just looking at each other like as it kind of progressed towards the last few teams, we were looking at each other like, man, they actually might win this lottery. So it was, I was, the description that you made of how you felt was kind of the way I was too. I was just completely shocked because this is the third lottery that the New Orleans has been in the last 7 years, and they've won two of them. I mean, what are the odds of that happening? So I kind of felt like a lot of the lottery luck they used up in 2012 when they had about a 13% chance and won it. So, I mean, this was twice as bad as far as the odds going in, and you win it anyway. So, man, what a amazing scene. to see that happen.
Well, do you guys have your own Mr. Luck now running things in David Griffin? And he had ties sent to Alvin Gentry, and he had this, you know, totem from his grandmother. I mean, he brought all the voodoo and tricks out, and it worked.
Yeah, I heard someone in the conference call last night. I wasn't on that because everyone that was here in Chicago got to talk to him in person. But I heard someone ask him if he thinks he's just a lucky guy right now. And he's like, yeah, I'm really starting to think that way, because it's just been too incredible, all of the times that he was in Cleveland that they won the lottery there as well. So, I mean, yeah, I guess you hope that you don't have to rely on that in the future. That's for sure. But man, that was big to be able to come through with the number one pick this time.
Can you quantify just how big it was to land that number one overall pick and how franchise altering it could be, Jim?
It's tough. I mean, I would say that one of the numbers is that they sold over 2,500 season tickets. So that's huge from a perspective of, you know, trying to fill the arena next season. I think I would go back to, in terms of how big it is and how shocking it was, if you think about it from a big picture standpoint and you go back a few months, this team made the playoffs last season, won 48 games, and everyone in basketball knew that there was a player in Zion Williamson coming through the ranks that would be a huge prize. But you never thought in a million years that you would have a chance to get that player, because you thought that you would be a lot more competitive than what ended up happening with a 33-win season. And then when you win, just winning 33 games is enough to give you, like I said, the really poor lottery odds. So it was a scenario that just, I don't think it entered anyone's mind as far as going back a few months or going back a season. So it's wild to think that we went from there to where we are here, where you got a guy that's so coveted and one of the players entering the NBA that was one of the guys that people wanted the most over the last few years even.
Yeah, I'm still trying to comprehend it 24 hours plus away from it. We're talking to Jim Eichenhofer, NBA and Pelicans writer for Pelicans.com, part of the Pelicans radio network, and at @Jim_Eichenhofer on Twitter. Jim, what do you make of this, and what have people inside the organization made of? And I guess we kind of expected this. It was inevitable. You'd have this national backlash, the big city punditry, angry that, you know, the Lakers or Knicks didn't get that number one pick. How's the reaction been inside the Pelicans organization?
I mean, I've only talked to people that I'm really close with, friends, because I'm in Chicago and everybody else is back in Louisiana, other than, you know, some people from basketball ops are here, obviously, for the draft combine. But to me, it's kind of similar to people's reaction when the whole thing happened during the season with the Lakers, where there was just this immense feeling of entitlement from their on their side of like, well, we deserve this and we deserve that. And I think you touched on it a little bit. What you said bothers, it's the same exact thing that bothers me. It's like, where does this come from, this attitude that if you're the Knicks, well, we're the Knicks, so we deserve this, or we're the Lakers, so we should get this. And it, I think that I can't speak for other people, but that's, for me personally, that's what bothers me the most, is acting like, I mean, I've been in this job for 13 years. I don't act like anyone owes me anything or I deserve anything. Like, you should have, the way things are in sports, you earn everything. You don't walk into situations and say, well, because we're in New York City, we should get XYZ. And that, I don't know why that trend seems to be coming up more lately, but it just seems like it's gotten to the point where it's very annoying. And as you mentioned, in terms of some of the national media punditry today, there's a lot of stuff that was just absurd. It was just like, what are we talking about right now? So I would say that kind of sums up the way I look at it. I don't want to speak for other people, but I just think it's one of those things where it's just really frustrating, but it's also the kind of thing that you're a lot better off not spending time focusing on that, because it's another thing that's totally out of everyone's control.
Right. Enjoy it. Don't focus on all the, you know, the unhappy, unhappy people, on the coasts, I guess. So you were in Chicago, Jim. What was that scene like, and what was the process like for that lottery yesterday?
I mean, it's pretty low key. I mean, there's not really a lot to it, honestly. It's just like, this was the second lottery I went to. I was also there in 16 when the Pelicans ended up getting sixth and taking Buddy Hield in the draft. But it's pretty, I mean, it's not that exciting, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. But then when you get the result that you get, then you see the huge reaction that people have. But it's a pretty mundane event. I mean, I think one of the cooler things, if for people who don't get the luxury or the privilege or whatever you want to call it that I do of getting to be behind the scenes is getting to see some of the top, some of the college players, the top guys were all there. I mean, I can't, it's impossible for me to follow college basketball as much as I would like to, but it was cool to just to see some of those players and come into the lottery. But other than that, it's really not that exciting an event until they start opening the envelopes.
Yeah, do you think that the NBA is missing out on a real opportunity to, you know, own a full another day? Because what I think it was the number one trend on Twitter worldwide. I think, what, 8 of the top 10 were draft or Pelicans or Zion related. And you're thinking, or at least I'm thinking, man, do what the NFL does and just carve out a completely separate day and own it.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I was having this discussion with Daniel Salerson, who also works on Pelicans Radio Network. He's the host for the postgame show. And I was saying the same thing that you just said, as far as like, man, I'm surprised that the coverage isn't more extensive. And he was kind of joking with me, saying like, what could they possibly talk about? How could they fill 3 or 4 hours of programming? And I was like, yeah, you know what? You're probably right. But I feel like I kind of lean more towards your opinion and what I was thinking in terms of that you could blow it up even more and make it an even bigger event, because as we've seen, the interest is totally there. Now, would that apply to every single year? Probably not. But when there's a year like this where there's one player that's so attractive and coveted, there's people tuning in and people are talking about it. I feel like for the last several days, it wasn't just, you know, on Tuesday. The whole, even going into the weekend, people were talking about the lottery pretty constantly.
It did feel a little bit surreal still to know that you're going to be kind of inside this vortex of Zion and AD and everything for the next few months.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And you know, it's funny. I think you kind of alluded to this a little bit. It's so weird saying this because it's been 24 hours, but in some ways it still hasn't totally hit me as far as what happened and how much of a game changer that was. I don't know if that'll be more the case when we get closer to the actual draft in June or even summer league, when you start to see the guys that you drafted actually be on the court in your uniform. But I think it's going to take a little while for it to sink in, but it'll probably help sink it in for me too when I go back to New Orleans after the next few days and see people back in the offices in Metairie and see how excited they are. I obviously saw the videos and everything, but just to get to talk to people, I'm sure everybody's going to be coming up to me all the time saying like, man, can you believe this? This is amazing. So I will definitely look forward to that.
Yeah, enjoy the heck out of it, man. It's Jim Eichenhofer of Pelicans.com, a writer there, and part of also the Pelicans Radio Network. Jim, always appreciate the chats, man, and I know we'll talk to you more coming up to the draft.
No problem. Thanks, Seth.
All right, there he goes, @Jim_Eichenhofer on Twitter. Be sure you give him a follow, and, you know, Jim will have lots to write about and lots that you're going to want to read over the next few months. We're going to open up the phone lines now all hour long, 504-260-1870. Wherever you are in the city, in the state, in the country, give me a call. What do you think about what happened last night with the Pelicans stunning the world, defying the odds, and grabbing the number one overall pick in the lottery? And, of course, what's now happening with Zion and the talk across the country with so many people thinking Zion should use everything in his power not to come to New Orleans. 260-1870, 504-260-1870. And our text line, you can reach us there at 870-870. Big thanks to Jim Eichenhofer for coming on with us a little bit ago. It's up in Chicago doing work up there. I'll say it again, and I've said it a few times throughout the show. It's incredible that we live in a time in our country and in our world, in our sports world, where the disdain and hate coming from the elitist big city sports punditry is completely trumping and overwhelming the euphoria and joy that has erupted here in one of the great American sports cities. I just don't understand it. I mean, if I was doing a radio show anywhere else in the country, I promise you, I would be saying the same exact thing. I don't understand it. It's nonsense that one city deserves any basketball player. I wouldn't be saying that the Pelicans deserve any player. I don't care how many games they lost this last year, how many years that they have been dreadful. Just odd. To say the least, it's odd. We'll go to the phone lines now. Ryan in Kenner. Welcome to the show, Ryan.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Seth. I want to make a couple points. I mean, I could talk for days about a couple things, but the first point is this draft lottery. I know it sounds biased, me being from New Orleans, but I think the five teams that actually needed to pick and didn't tank on purpose got the five picks. I mean, I know you can say the Knicks tank, blah, 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 but like Suns and Chicago, they've been in the lottery for years. Like, they're not going anywhere. The second part I'd say is I think if AD doesn't want to stay here, I think it's going to be between the Knicks and Lakers. I think the winner of the Anthony Davis sweepstakes is whoever can convince Memphis to get involved and maybe move back one pick or two picks and get – because remember David Griffin mm-hmm. had a quote-unquote dream saying that he wanted the second pick. He didn't say he wanted the first pick. He wanted the second pick. The first pick is almost – I'm not trying to say anything bad about Zion, but he's high-risk, high-reward.
Now, why do you say high risk? Now, you got to explain RJ, that, though. Why do you say high risk?
Because, for example, R.J. Barrett and Ja Morant, there's NBA comparisons, okay? There's really not an NBA comparison for Zion. People can say LeBron because of the size, but, like, it's different kind of games.
Sure.
There's never been somebody like Zion. So his game, like, for example, he's – going to come in the league at 19.
Yeah.
And he's going to be the second heaviest player in the league.
No, I get it. And you're saying maybe, but you're saying like an injury risk perhaps because of that size and physicality, you know, in the NBA throwing that body type around, right? Right.
Yeah. He hasn't hit his freshman 15, if you will.
No.
You're going to gain weight at some point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can he slim down? Or if he gains 15, he's over 300.
No, I mean, no. I think, look, and I think that is. That's something to think about, and I have no problem with you or anybody else bringing up that at 280 pounds and 6'7", that's an inch shorter than LeBron James, and what, 25 pounds, 20 pounds heavier than LeBron James right now? You're right. I mean, that's a bulldozer, a freight truck that we just haven't seen in this league, but we never really saw a LeBron before he got here. I do think the comparisons about body type and the athleticism and physicality and strength, Zion to LeBron, I think those are pretty fair comparisons. And LeBron James wasn't a finished product when he got in. What I will say with firm assurity on my side is that we have never seen an NBA prospect like Zion since LeBron. A lot of people say since Anthony Davis, but I think the real answer there is, well, we haven't really seen somebody this highly regarded since LeBron James 17 years ago. Never a sure thing. Never a sure thing. A lot of people thought Greg Odom was a sure thing when he came in. He got injured and he was done. A lot of people thought Kwame Brown, remember him? He was a sure thing. He came in, he was a complete flop. People thought he was a sure thing. So there's never a sure thing. I would never say that about any draft pick in any sport, but he's about as close as it gets. Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it. We've got to take a quick 60-second break for news. We got a couple of calls lined up when we come back. We're also going to, if we have time, I'm not sure yet, we're going to get your calls and focus on your calls and texts. But if we do have time, we might play a little of Joel Myers' interview earlier today on Sports Talk. And our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll at WWL.com. Now that the Pels have that number one pick, do you think it's enough to convince Anthony Davis to stick around? Simple yes or no, WWL.com, radio.com app. It's Logan behind the glass. I'm Seth Dunlap. Great day to be a sports fan in New Orleans. The last lap continues. Here is a text from the 504. Draft lottery was rigged, and I'm glad. If it was, frankly, I'm kind of putting on my fanhood hat and not caring. I mean, I can't imagine it was rigged. But I've said before that there have been some interesting coincidences in NBA history in the draft lottery, almost all of them, though. As a matter of fact, I would say all of them that were very interesting coincidences happened under David Stern and not Adam Silver. This is a new era. You're going to have a hard time convincing me that some of those drafts were not at least tilted in favor of the Knicks to get Patrick Ewing or the Cavaliers to get LeBron James. And even the Pelicans when Tom Benson just bought the franchise, wink, wink, nod, nod, here's the number one pick. That's one of the sports conspiracies that I kind of buy into. But again, those were all under David Stern. Here is a text from the 504. Zion's money will go a lot further in New Orleans than New York. Cost of living there is crazy. That's something that the agents and the financial team around these young athletes certainly will advise them of. There's no doubt about it. But remember, there's also state income tax here, and there are states where that is not a factor. Back to the phone lines we go. Open lines the rest of the hour. Give us a buzz. Let's go to Pierre in Gentilly. What's up tonight, Pierre?
Hey, what's on, Offset?
Hey, dude.
I just wanted to tell you, I seen your video. I loved it, man. I loved the video.
I was fired up. I was fired up, bro.
Yeah, I was fired up. I mean, I didn't think we had a chance to get the number one pick. But I got a couple of points I want to make. The first point, as far as his size, Anthony Davis was lighter than Zion is, and he had some durability issues when he came into the league.
Yeah, and well, he's taller, but he was, you know, more svelte than Zion ever was. Zion, I think, was like a sophomore in high school. But, yeah, I mean, there's injury concerns you could have for everybody, and certainly we've experienced that with Anthony Davis. But new guy running that, right, Pierre? Aaron Nelson.
Right, and also I just wanted to say that, you know, they can hate all they want, you know what I'm saying, talk about he going to go to New York. I can't wait to see Zion in the Pelicans uniform and flock up.
Flock up. There you go, Pierre. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Sky in Metairie. Sky, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, man? Love the show.
Appreciate it.
I was wondering, Griffin, what kind of date does Griffin have on the NBA, man?
Wait, does who have on the NBA? Oh, Griffin? Because it's his third, man. Yeah, third time. He's man? No, no
Come
doubt.
On, man. What kind of left is that? They had to. Like, that's crazy. But I just upsets me that these teams have that much hate that they're just going to hate on an entire city and just call it trash. And, you know, they're just so misinformed. And it hurts, like, people, that's what they think of New Orleans, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah, and that it's across, Sky, I think it's completely across the line when you're taking shots at a city and the people of that city. That is something I would never do. No matter how poorly run I ever, in my own opinion, thought a franchise was run. Like, if you're out there and you're one of these national talking heads that really dislikes the Pelicans franchise and how it's been run, then say that. And I would disagree with you if I did, and I would call you out on my disagreement with your words, but it crosses the line when you're starting to take shots at a city. I mean, I am sorry. There is not a better sports city, and frankly, in my experience, and I've lived and worked in a lot of markets, there are not better people anywhere in the country than here in this city. And I firmly believe that. Just like I'm saying for New York, I'm not bashing the people of New York or the sports fans of New York. I'm bashing the Knicks and how they've been run under James Dolan. It's a joke that people are acting like the Knicks are entitled to anybody, including Zion. I mean, that's just absurd. I would never say that the Pelicans were entitled and deserved Zion. I wasn't part of that crew before the NBA draft lottery saying, you know, somehow, well, with everything that's happened in New Orleans and our sports scene over the last few months that, well, we deserve Zion. No, the sports fans, and we didn't deserve Zion. Nobody deserves Zion. He's a human. You can go, you know, I don't know. I'm getting off the track here a little bit. But thanks for the call, Sky. Let's go to Joe in Baton Rouge. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, Seth, thank you. First of all, love your show. Secondly, you mentioned something very early on. Should AD stay in New Orleans? Strategically, as a business leader, because I own a few businesses and operate a few businesses based in Louisiana, he came out and didn't want to be a part of the team. He admitted nationwide that he wanted to move on. That's fine. Thank you. Find your place, move on. You're not welcome, or you're welcome, but do we accept him as a corporation?
Yeah, and well, yeah, Joe. No, I mean, I get your point. You're saying that he's burned too many bridges, right?
I agree. Yes, good point. But also, he's a commodity. I hate to say that. It sounds callous, but when you run a business, nobody is irreplaceable. And there's a song, and not that very long that I could remember, and I'm sorry because I guess I'm older than 50, so I can't remember it. But
well, I can't remember song lyrics half the time anyways, Joe, and I'm only 35. I'm only 35, so.
Right, but I mean, let's be frank here. We're here to make the better part of the corporation profitable, and shareholders, if you're not public, and stockholders, if you are public, to make money. What is your goal here, sir or ma'am? I don't care if you're male or female.
No, I get it. I mean, Joe, I'm not trying to completely cut you off. We're just up against the clock, and I got more calls to get to. But to your point, here's where I agree with you. I don't think I'd use the word commodity. I would use the word asset, and nobody is irreplaceable at all. And in a business, when you're contracted like that, and you play by the rules of the league that you're in, I mean, professional sports is its own, you know, monster. And it might not always be fair, but in the interest of competitive balance and in the interest of gaining more viewers, more revenue, which in turn you're able to pay your players more and your coaches more, you're able to grow the sport. Competitive balance, in my mind, has to be near or at the top of the list of your priorities in running a league. I mean, it has been for the NFL. They built an empire on the back of it. They have a hard cap. The NBA does not. They have a soft cap. And people now today are calling for the destruction of the NBA draft or any sports drafts. I mean, okay, that's fine and dandy, and it sounds good as a tweet and as a rah-rah players' right thing, but you will completely destroy sports leagues if that happens. You cannot have a league of 30 franchises across the country, large and small markets, and you want to gain the interest of fans and people in every corner of the country if you decide just to make it where only teams in New York, LA, and a couple of other markets are able to succeed. I mean, that's just the bottom line there. Thanks, Joe. Phone lines are open for you, 504-260-1870. That's 260-1870. Text lines 870-870. More to come here on The Last Lap. If you're looking for our Game of Thrones weekly podcast, a podcast has no name, returned earlier tonight. You can find the latest episode recapping The Bells on our website at WWL.com. You can look for it there, and I just tweeted it out, at Seth Dunlap. Do we have any, do we have sports libs tonight? We do have some sports libs. Good, let's squeeze in them. We might only get to a couple of them. We've got a couple of minutes here. Logan behind the glass, welcome on in. What you got for us?
We got five questions. We're going to rapid fire them.
All right, let's do it.
All right, first one up. Should Zion Williams play for the Pelicans?
Absolutely. Yes. People who've never been to this city just don't understand how cool it is for a young guy like Zion to live here and become an icon here. Absolutely, yes. Take a page from Alvin Kamara, Zion.
All right, next one up here. Zion Williams means blank for the Pelicans.
Zion Williamson means...
Zion Williamson.
No, you're good. Zion Williamson means a rebirth. How about that? A rebirth for the Pelicans. Rebirth of the franchise. I don't think you can overstate just how big that moment was last night.
All right. Next one up here. Should the Pelicans be trying to hang on to Anthony Davis?
Trying, yes. Simple yes. They should be trying because the triumvirate of Anthony Davis, Zion Williamson, and Jrue Holiday would be a championship trio in my mind. Will it happen? I don't think so.
All right, next one up here. Blank could have really used Zion Williamson.
Every single team in the NBA. And that's just the truth. I think he's going to be that transcendent and that much of a generational talent.
All right, and last one here. The Pelicans should blank next.
Try everything to get the number two pick from Memphis because Zion and Ja Morant here, you want to talk about setting yourself up for a decade plus of championship-level contention. That would be it. I don't think it can happen. I believe Memphis would love to have Ja, but Ja and Zion here would be incredible. Nice job, Logan. That's going to do it for the show. Thanks to Logan Falgu, Todd Meneses for booking the show earlier today, our assistant program director, Helen Santani for helping out, and all of our guests tonight. If you missed any of the show, you can check the podcast and on demand at WWL.com. Radio.com app, Apple Podcasts. You can keep the conversation with me going on Twitter at Seth Dunlap, and we are at WWL AM FM. As always, I leave you with our moment of zen. Here's a little David Griffin last night.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.